Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 18th of May. Pastor Rick Petty joins us for the next half hour. That'll round off the first hour of the program. In the second hour, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute will join us about two European issues. One, government funding for in vitro fertilization, trying to stem the plummeting birth rate in Germany. And then there is a growing out of wedlock birth rate in the Netherlands. We'll talk about both of those things with Jennifer. Dr. Joel Heck will join us after that to continue our weekly series with him, part two of a four-part series on the Genesis creation account. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number. We'll be talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They come to the door. They are the last time I had a Jehovah's Witness come to the door, I was frankly surprised. I was accustomed to the rather conservatively dressed, austere gentlemen who often came to the door with their literature. And the last time, I thought she might have been selling real estate. She was very snappily dressed. She was young. She was attractive. And I realized only after about 5 minutes conversation with her that she was a Jehovah's Witness because she had in her hand information from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Well, what's the greatest danger of the teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses? Pastor Rick Petty is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Fredericktown, Missouri, and author of an article titled, The Watchtower is the Only True Christian Organization, or is it? Pastor Petty, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
What's the greatest danger in the teachings of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society?
Well, Todd, if you don't mind, I'd like to change that question just slightly, is what is the most dangerous way in which they teach? And I say that is because no matter what they cover, is the way they distort Scripture, as well as any other source that they quote, they change just enough, as Satan did when he tried to tempt Jesus, to completely alter the original meaning. And once you start on that path, you completely change the meaning of Scripture in any place that you look.
So their method of reading the Bible, it sounds as though their method of reading the Bible is the underlying danger here.
Yes. Quoting from their 1967 book called Qualified to be Ministers, I quote, "Be very careful to be accurate in all statements you make. Use evidence honestly in quotations. Do not twist the meaning of a writer or speaker or use only partial quotations to give a different thought than the person intended." That's part of their teaching, what they say they do, and then they, right from the outset, they completely ignore that and do exactly what they warn you not to do.
What do they, using this method of reading the Bible, what do they derive as the Bible's teaching of salvation?
Well, and that's the difficult thing, is when Christians talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, if you ask them, oh, do you believe you're saved by grace? They will answer yes. They will affirm that, and they have to me on many occasions, because they're trained to use that. Their Bible classes are not Bible classes at all, but they are indoctrination sessions where they are taught how to respond to Christians' objections. And so when you look at the material, which unfortunately most Jehovah's Witnesses are not that familiar with their own material, not really. And so when you read into their material, what they actually say that is, it takes more than grace. Grace is one thing. However, it doesn't get you to heaven. From their February Watchtower of 1983, they state, "What must the other sheep do to inherit everlasting life? One, take in knowledge of God from the Watchtower magazine. Two, must obey God's laws. Three, must identify that organization and serve God as part of it. And four, support his government by loyally advocating his kingdom rule to others." So much for grace.
Is the Watchtower magazine their scripture?
It becomes their authority. Again, they will always claim Scripture's authority, but it becomes really a false mechanism. Is, again, the way they read Scripture, they are trained to read it through their glasses, so to speak, that when they see a text, it does not appear to them the way you and I would read it, because they have been so indoctrinated that they read it with the watchtower understanding, which is a complete distortion of the truth. And probably one of the greatest examples is where they deny in John 1:1 that Jesus is God. And so the text says Jesus is God. Even before they had their New World Translation, when they used to use the King James Version, they read, you know, and the word was God. And, of course, in their mind, what they heard was the word was a God. And then they are taught other passages that supported that understanding, and those passages were all distorted and twisted that had nothing to do with the text whatsoever, but they didn't realize that.
You start out the article that you have written about the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society by responding to how they read, that is, how the Jehovah's Witnesses read Jesus' words regarding, by their fruits you will know them.
Yes.
What do they say? What does Scripture actually say?
Well, what they try to do is they try to paint themselves as, see how we are treated horribly, and how how we go out and all the things that we do, how much we're willing to suffer, and how we put ourselves out. That shows that we are really the true believers in Jesus. And that we do it, all that we do on our own. And so I asked one, well, what about the Mormons who they spent two years out witnessing and such? Does that make them also true? And, of course, they couldn't respond because they're not used to that kind of argument. And then I asked, well, okay, then what about me as a Lutheran pastor and all those Lutheran pastors that spent 4 years in college and 4 years in seminary? We weren't paid for that. Does that mean that, therefore, simply by doing that, that makes us true? And so their line of argumentation falls flat, but they're so programmed into that passage that they have no idea what it really means whatsoever, that it refers to the content of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. It was their false teaching that showed that they were not true shepherds. And, of course, the doctrine in their mind has no... that would never enter their mind at all. It's simply, look at us, look how much we do. That shows that we are the true people of God.
What fundamental Christian doctrines, historic Christian doctrines, creedal, simple creedal statements, does the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, in one way or another, deny?
Everything. They, of course, the Trinity, for them, is a pagan insertion into the Christian church. And that's why in their documents, should you believe in the Trinity, that was one thing that I showed rather specifically, that they try to quote supposedly Christian references to show that really the Christian teaching on the Trinity is not really well supported at all. And what they do is in every one of their quotations, they will quote a part of it and leave out that part which would refute their own statement. And so their magazine is just filled with partial quotations and distortions of the original text. And that is why when you speak with a Jehovah's Witness, if you can show them the original material and say, well, wait a minute, here is what this actually says, that is probably one of the best ways to open their eyes with their own material, to show them, well, that's not what the text says at all. From the Trinity, then it moves immediately to Jesus. He's not God. And then right down the line, grace. Everything falls by the wayside.
So we can say without qualification, Pastor Petty, that those who buy into the teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses are buying into something that is not even quasi-Christian. It is not Christian at all.
Not in the least.
How do they understand Jesus Christ then? I mean, you alluded to it there in your last answer, but where does Jesus Christ fit into what now becomes a terrible distortion of Christianity?
He becomes, in their words, a mighty God. And they get this from John 1, where they distort the Greek there, and that, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, and they insert a, the Word was a God. And so they refer to him as, quote, a mighty God. Not the God, but a mighty God, someone whom Jehovah God created in order to bring salvation to this earth, to make it available, not to actually bestow it, but to make it possible that we can then save ourselves, really. And so from that text, then what they say is, you see, he's not the God. But the problem is, they ignore their own teaching when in John 20:28, Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And in the Greek, it has a definite article, "My Lord and the God of me, the God." And they completely ignore that. There the text says he is not a God, but the God. And they just pass right by that entirely because it goes against their teaching.
With only a minute here, where does that leave the average Jehovah's Witnesses with respect to his certainty or hope for salvation?
In a quandary. That's why they have to get out and to witness, to show that, you see, I really am a witness. I can show that I deserve to live on this paradise earth, which, of course, they know they're not going to make it to heaven because that's already closed up, the 144,000. That's already done with. So they want their place on paradise earth. And if they do enough witnessing, then they say, see, I know that I'll make it. So they have really no assurance at all. It's all a matter of if I do enough.
Pastor Rick Petty is our guest. We're talking about false prophets and the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, Jehovah's Witnesses, live this Wednesday, May the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. I invite your questions or comments. This break is a great time to call 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can also send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. If you have the time, visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. 10 more minutes with Pastor Petty. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us in the second hour. We'll talk about some birth issues in Europe, and we'll pick up where we left off with Dr. Joel Heck, part two of our four-part series on the Genesis creation account. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. The topic? The Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Rick Petty is our guest. We're talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses, the false prophets, and the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. It strikes me that this is really a very ancient teaching, if I'm not mistaken. And I think we've had previous guests here point out that what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach with respect to the divinity or lack thereof of Jesus Christ is nothing new in the Christian church. Isn't it essentially the old Arian heresy from the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th centuries?
Oh, most certainly. And that's what we see so much today. So many false churches pick up on this ancient heresy. United Pentecostalism does the same thing, Jehovah's Witnesses. And it's interesting, each would deny the other as church, and yet they use much of the same argumentation, which Hilary of Poitiers, Augustine, dealt with this years ago in very, very thorough manner, St. Hilary especially. And yet here we are all over again dealing with the same heresies and having to fight the same battles because many just have not learned the history of the past to see where we're at today.
You mentioned before, and I think it does need a little explanation, that the average Jehovah's Witness does not hope for salvation in its fullest sense as taught by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. What do they hope for?
Well, what they expect is that Jehovah God will send Jesus to recreate earth, and they will spend eternity on earth. And then for the reserve class, the 144,000, they twist that from Revelation, they will get heaven. And so they have two separate existences that they don't they can't find with great specificity, but they know they're not going to get to the highest place, heaven, but they will expect to get to this paradise on earth where they will spend an eternity feeding animals and living an agrarian lifestyle.
Well, this is rather timely, even though we're not talking about Harold Camping. Harold Camping, of course, has made a prediction that at the end of this week, the world is going to end. He says secret rapture will occur on the 21st of May. Of course, he's not the first to do so and not the last to do so, but the Jehovah's Witnesses have their own track record of failed predictions, don't they?
Oh, going back to 1889, then 1917, 24, 41, 66, 88, they just never seem to learn. And now they soft-pedal it now. And so when you talk with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they've now been indoctrinated how to deal with that. In their own materials, which I have in front of me, they are taught to talk about, well, that was old light, and now we've been given clear indication of true light, and they sweep it under the rug because those in control know that more and more Christians are aware of this, and so they've been inoculated against this kind of stuff by trying to move the argument away from the real issue.
But according to their history and their teaching, Pastor Petty, can they so easily sweep Charles Taze Russell under the rug?
Well, you know, that's the surprising thing is even some of your elder Jehovah's Witnesses, a gentleman that I talked with for several years in Nebraska, he was his brother was an elder and he'd been a JW his whole life. That really wasn't an issue. They're able to compartmentalize different things, and so when you talk about Russell and such, they can quickly just dismiss that and bring up all kinds of excuses that they don't hear as excuses, that allows for those things that Russell brought up, and then later on we had to make changes, alterations. It doesn't seem to bother them in many cases. It's unfathomable.
And yet, I mean, to be consistent, can they divorce what they teach from their history? Can they divorce their origins from who they are, what they teach today?
No, and that's why the most helpful thing when talking with Jehovah's Witness, you really need to know some of their history and be able to use their own materials because they're taught not to look at any apostate materials. But if you use their own materials, and I recommend what we call the Purple People Eater, their earlier interlinear of the Greek scriptures, with that alone, that and a couple of their old watchtowers, you can show them really quite thoroughly from their historical records and what they write, how they're inconsistent. And once you get them to see that, then they'll at least listen to you because you're not trying to pawn off on them your own materials, propaganda in their mind, heretical materials. You're using their own documentation.
Ken listens in Winter Park, Florida. He asks, Recently, I've been asking Jehovah's Witnesses how their beliefs square with the passages in Isaiah 43, 44, and 46, where God says that he is the only God, the first and the last, the only Savior, and that he knows of no other God. Then I have them turn to Revelation 1 and have them read the risen Christ's words that he is the first and the last, thus identifying himself as that only God. What do you make of that particular approach?
Well, and this is part of the problem, is they have been so, again, the word I use is indoctrinated, because that's really what it is. They, in their mind, they compartmentalize mighty God, a God. And so there are numerous texts in the New Testament where Jesus takes directly out of the Old and says, that's me. And yet they have been so well trained to think immediately any New Testament text about Jesus, yes, and they'll answer, yes, he's God. He's a God, but he's not the mighty God. And you can look right at the text and go, wait a minute, but what about, and they just, they will get off it as quickly as possible. In their mind, that's not a problem. It's something that we just can't understand, because it's quite clear. But again, it's because the way they've been so well brainwashed.
So in other words, really, they have been taught to suspend even simple critical thinking in favor of accepting what it is the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society tells them in its literature.
Well said, Todd. That is exactly the point. And that is why it is so difficult to witness to them. And I find the best way, and one needs to have a little training to this, and I don't recommend my members to go toe-to-toe, because unless you're prepared to understand how they look at Scripture, what I try to do is get them to look at their own materials, and I ask them questions. Well, please tell me what this means from their own materials. And when I can point out contradictions, that's when you start to at least get them to look at it critically, because until then, no matter what the text says in Scripture, what they see in their mind's eye is what they've been trained to see.
You also say near the end of your article that their own literature from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society betrays an explicit connection to Spiritist teaching. What do you mean, and what are you talking about?
Well, yes, and this is just a sad part of their history. But early on, they used the work of an ex-Roman Catholic priest by the name of Johannes Grieber. And the organization knew that he was involved. His wife was a spirit medium, and he was excommunicated because of that. And so he wrote a piece called Communication with the Spirit World. And if you look at his teachings, every one of them is exactly what the Watchtower teaches. And early on, the Watchtower acknowledged that they used his material. Then, of course, it was exposed that his wife was a spirit medium and his background. Then they denounced him. Then later on, they incorporated his work again. They go back and forth. And so this is part of their history, and that was the one thing that, in talking with that elderly Jehovah's Witness, when I was able to show him that in the material, that concerned him. He was not aware of that, as most Jehovah's Witnesses are not.
With only about 30 seconds, then, what is your best pastoral advice for that conversation that may take place on the doorstep with a Jehovah's Witness? Your best pastoral advice in 30 seconds.
Be nice to them. Thank them for coming. Show that you appreciate them taking their time, and that if they'd like to visit with them and their pastor, they would be happy to do that. But I really encourage my members not to try to engage them in a biblical ping pong. It just doesn't get anywhere. But never try not to ever show any type of anger or animosity, because that just confirms them in the conviction that they are the true Christians and the followers of Jehovah.
Pastor Petty, before we let you go, thanks to you and to your congregation there at Trinity in Fredericktown, Missouri, for being part of the Issues Etc. 300.
Well, we appreciate the work that you do, and may the Lord continue to bless all that you and Jeff accomplish there through the radio ministry.
Pastor Rick Petty is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Fredericktown, Missouri. He's author of an article titled, The Watchtower Is the Only True Christian Organization, or Is It? We mentioned the Issues Etc. 300. It's our congregational sponsorship program. It's where a congregation will want to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. in their budget. And that's a simple thing because many congregations support all sorts of things in their budgets inside and outside the congregation. When a congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, they pledge $1,000 or more in their mission or advertising budget. That makes them part of the Issues Etc. 300. And you can find out all about the benefits of your congregation becoming part of the Issues Etc. 300 and sponsoring Issues Etc. as a congregation at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find a one-page flyer there. Download it, print it off, take it to your congregation. Your congregation may actually be deciding right now what it will include or exclude from its budget in the coming year. So this is a good time to go to our website, issuesetc.org, download and print that one-page flyer, and take it to your congregation. Ask them to become part of the Issues Etc. 300. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, May the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will be our guest. We'll talk about birth issues in Europe, and then we'll continue our series on the Genesis account of creation with Dr. Joel Heck.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.